Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead here again to have another conversation with you about some of the stories that matter. Folks, there is a lot that is happening in the world. There's a lot that's happening in this city. There's a lot that's happening in your own community. And we're going to try to cover as much of that as possible. The world is shifting and changing so quickly ever since our president made the decision to authorize a drone strike killing the top military general in Iran. The world is shifting and moving in ways that we cannot even begin to possibly understand the long term ramifications of this decision. We know that there's talk of a bounty being placed on the president's head, which is dangerous conversation in terms of moving us closer to a war. We understand that the president has threatened, I think, 52 sites to be struck in retaliation if Iran does make any kind of move. I know the world is shifting. I know politicians are choosing sides. At this moment, folks, you are going to have to make a decision. For many of you that might still be on the fence, where you're not sure what you're going to do next when it comes to the election, are you going to vote or aren't you going to vote? And if you do vote, are you on Trump's side or on someone else's side? Now is the time, because the line is being drawn in the sand. Either you support this president and the path that he is moving down and the path that he's dragging this country down, or you don't. I do not think that there are two ways about it. I don't think you can have one world on this side where you are kind of sort of supporting the president, you're all for what we need to do, and then one world over here where you are against him. You can't do both. You can't have one foot in each of those worlds. You got to go one or the other. And I was thinking a lot about Donald Trump this weekend and thinking a lot about the show today. What do you talk about when America might be moving close to war? What are you talking about when you have troops heading off to war? What do you talk about when you realize, as I did this weekend, that we have more black women who are enlisted in the military than black men? I think that is very interesting, trying to figure out why is it that so many sisters signed up for military service. Listen to these statistics, folks. In terms of active duty enlisted black women, 29.78% of the women in the military are black women. Out of active duty enlisted black men, 17%, almost twice as many women, black women, are signed up for active duty. When it comes to Hispanic women, 19.57% of women in the armed services enlisted duty are Hispanic. When it comes to Hispanic men enlisted duty, 16.75%. In both of those cases, you have more black and brown women signed up for active duty than black and brown men. But look at this, folks. When it comes to white women, 53% of the women in the services are white, active duty. For active duty enlisted men, 69.65%. So the biggest number right now is white men. They outnumber white women, but black women outnumber black men. Hispanic women outnumber Hispanic men. Now, I want you to think about that in light of this information that we found as we were looking through the news. There was a survey called YouGov where it ranked world leaders that posed the greatest threat to world peace. I'm going to let you guess who at this point is seen as the greatest threat to world peace. Let me tell you who else is on the list, because we have in front of us the top five. So what I'll do is I'll count up from number five and I'll let you guess number one. Number five on this list, with 7% of the people thinking that he is the greatest threat to world peace, is Xi Jinping, a Chinese politician serving as a general secretary of the Communist Party of China, president of the People's Republic of China, and chairman of the General Military Commission. 7% of the people think that he poses the greatest threat to world peace. Coming in at number four, Vladimir Putin 8% of the people see Vladimir Putin, who's the president of Russia and has been since 2012. He previously held the position from 2000 to 2008. They see Vladimir Putin as number 4 on the list of the world leaders that pose the greatest threat to world peace. Coming in at number 3, Ali Khamenei. He's the second and current supreme leader of Iran. So he's tied with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin got 8% of the vote, and so did he. Coming in at number 2, and this is where it gets really interesting, folks. The number 2 world leader that poses the greatest threat to world peace is Kim Jong-un. 17% of the people see Kim Jong-un, a North Korean politician who's been the supreme leader of North Korea since 2011 and the chairman of the Workers' Party of Korea since 2012, as the second world leader, number 2, who poses the greatest threat to world peace. He had 17% of the vote. So if you're kind of looking across the globe here and trying to figure out if we have Vladimir Putin at number 4 and Xi Jinping coming in at number 5 and Kim Jong-un coming in at number 2, then who is left who would occupy the number 1 spot for the world leader posing the greatest threat to world peace? Donald Trump. 41% of the people say that Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States of America, who swooped into office on a wave of the white lash in response to the presidency of Barack Obama, as we saw the rise of white supremacy, and let's understand, folks, people get white supremacy and white nationalism confused. White supremacy has something that is rooted in this country, this notion that whiteness is supreme, and everything after that is designed to serve whiteness. See, whiteness is a verb, folks, that we have to look at. Donald J. Trump is considered to be the world leader that poses the greatest threat to world peace. Even though people have been joking all weekend about World War III, and it was all across black Twitter about black folks saying we're going to sit this one out, about black folks drawing a circle around Donald Trump's, you know, golf course and saying, dear Iran, he's here. You know, black folks saying, you know what? Hey, Iran, we're not in this. I get all of that. At the same time, we want to recognize and send our thoughts and our prayers to all of the enlisted men and women who've been called up this weekend to serve. Over 3,000 troops have been deployed, and it is not stopping anytime soon. We want to talk about politics in the first hour. Folks, it is becoming increasingly clear that we're going to have to make a decision sooner rather than later. If you are someone who is a Democrat or planning to vote as a Democrat, we need a candidate. And right now, we're still trying to figure out who can go against a president who has been impeached, who will be going on trial at some point, who is possibly leading us into what they call an endless war. Who is the person that can defeat Donald Trump? Now, in the last election, folks, if you remember, there was a sense that everybody, all the women, part of the pantsuit nation, they call themselves, white women and black women, wearing their pantsuits, standing in solidarity with Hillary Rodham Clinton. And there was a sense that Hillary Clinton was going to win. I know that I was convinced that Hillary Clinton was going to beat Donald J. Trump. I was absolutely convinced about that because on paper, Hillary Clinton was the most qualified on paper. When it comes to the debates, Hillary Clinton did show up better at the debates. When it comes to policy, on paper, Hillary Clinton had a better policy on paper. Plus, she had the support and backing of Barack Obama. Everybody was coming out. Oprah was on her side. Like, there was no chance that Hillary Clinton was not going to be the president of the United States, the first woman to be president. Now, there are a number of us, myself included, that had some reservations about putting another Clinton in office. Now, let's be clear. I am someone that I don't believe in having an oligarchy. I just don't. I don't believe we should have a few families transferring powers between themselves. Bush daddy, you know, and then comes Bush son and Clinton husband and then comes Clinton's wife. That's why I don't want Michelle Obama to run. I don't want power being passed among the same families. And I feel the same way about Baltimore City. See, I tend to believe that Baltimore City is being run by the same family members who are passing power amongst themselves, whether they're married or brother and sisters or uncles and aunties. I got some problems with that because I think this is a space where other people, if we want to be true to the founding of this nation, this is a space where we're supposed to democratize what freedom looks like. But even with that said, when I looked out and I saw the platform in front of me, there was no way I could walk into that booth and knowingly vote for a man who has, one, sexually assaulted and abused women. Things like grab her by the, you know, those are clear indicators that this man lacks a certain amount of respect for women. Two, someone who has openly campaigned for the death penalty for young African-American boys. You saw When They See Us. You remember Donald Trump's role in that, taking out a full-page ad in the New York Times talking about bring back the death penalty for young boys who were falsely accused, mind you. If Donald Trump had had his way, those young boys who were falsely accused would not be alive today. Or they would have spent all their time on death row. Who, three, Donald Trump, him and his father, who knowingly chose not to rent or sell their apartments and their condos to black people. So I could not go in a booth and vote for a reality star to run this country. And I thought there was some type of deal. But what ended up happening in that booth, where only 4% of black women voted for Trump. And I have questions for those 4% of black women. And 15% of black men voted for Donald Trump. I have some questions for those 15% of black men. But 54% of white women voted for Donald Trump. And that is why he coasted in the office. Now, we can go back and forth and we could talk a lot about the Electoral College versus, of course, the popular vote. But here's the deal, folks. Donald Trump end up becoming president. And Donald Trump, it seems like he's been given a blank check since then. What is increasingly obvious is that there are things that Donald Trump, as a white, rich, connected man, can do and has done and potentially will do that, say, Barack Obama would never have gotten away with. And what is the difference between Barack Obama and Donald Trump, other than, of course, education and class and style and charisma? It's race. Donald Trump gets a pass on everything that he does. And Donald Trump has been impeached. Like, we want to be clear on that. The vote did pass. Now, he has not been removed from office. That'll be the trial in the Senate, which he probably won't get removed from office. But Donald Trump is going down in history and has gone down in history as the third president to be impeached in this country. Meanwhile, as we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with that, he did the exact same thing that he accused Barack Obama of attempting to do. He has taken us on the path toward an endless war. 41% of the people on this planet see Donald J. Trump as the greatest threat to world peace. When you think about what does it mean to live in a country that is unstable, it is a country that is clearly being run by an unstable leader, Donald Trump. So I want to talk about that in this first hour because I want to go through Jason Johnson's Black Power rankings. He comes out every couple of weeks or so on The Root, and he talks about the candidates on the Democratic side, and he lets you know where do they sit in terms of power rankings. I want to go through those power rankings because I think that we need to get serious about ending what is happening here. We've got to get a candidate. We need to figure out which candidate has our best interests at heart. Now, I know as Black folks, we are not a monolith. I get that. But we do tend to vote as a block. Let's be very clear. Black folks as a block voted for Hillary Clinton. Black folks as a block voted for Barack Obama. Black folks as a block voted for Clinton. Black folks as a block voted for JFK. Like, we vote as a unified block. So which candidate right now who is attempting to secure the Democratic nomination is the one that is, one, going to be able to beat a president that is clearly out of control, and two, is one that's taking our interests, our needs into account? Or are we willing to put all that aside just so we can bring somebody up? Let's talk about that in this hour. And then in the next hour, I want to talk about Vision Planning 2020. Oprah Winfrey is going out on tour to talk about how we can do some vision planning. Who do you want to be in 2020? Have you already broken your New Year's resolutions? Did you make any New Year's resolutions? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that and offer you some tips on how to stay on track here on January 6th as we are getting started with really the first full week of the new year. Like, this is the big week here when you're trying to shake off the cobwebs and get back into it. We have Chaopoly set for today. We're doing a lot. I want to dedicate today's show, before I go to the calls, to a woman by the name of Mum Bet. And for the members of my Itty Bitty Fan Club, we are putting together our next meeting, and we're going to do something special with the Itty Bitty Fan Club on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So stand by to hear more about that. So for the members of my Itty Bitty Fan Club, I'm dedicating today's show to Mom Bet. And they call her Mom Bet and they call her Mum Bet. They call her both. M-U-M Bet. In the wake of the Revolutionary War, as African Americans took their causes to state houses and courthouses, Elizabeth Freeman, and she was better known as Mum Bet, she was an enslaved woman in Massachusetts, and her husband died fighting during the Revolutionary War. Now, I'm bringing her up because this connects directly to our conversation around politics. In the new Massachusetts Constitution of 1780, it stated that all men are born free and equal and have certain natural, essential, and unalienable rights. Think about that. It stated that in the new Massachusetts Constitution. Mum Bet had said, as an enslaved woman, that if she had an opportunity to experience just one moment of freedom, and she was told she would have to die after that one moment of freedom, she would take it just to experience what it's like to be free before she died. Well, listen to this, folks, and this should get you going on the January 6th going into the new year here. Mum Bet got hold of that new Massachusetts Constitution, the one that said all men are born free and equal. She used the new Massachusetts Constitution as an enslaved woman, and she sued for her freedom, and she won. Mum Bet sued for her freedom and won. After the ruling, Mum Bet changed her name to Elizabeth Freeman. Because of her case, and because of her persistence, and because of her tenacity, it effectively brought an end to slavery in Massachusetts. An enslaved Black woman who once said, if I got one moment of freedom, I would have to die after it, I would take it, got a hold of the new Massachusetts Constitution and used that to sue for her freedom. Folks, if an enslaved woman could sue for her freedom back in 1780 and win, then what is stopping you? What is stopping you from becoming the person that you want to be? What is stopping you from standing up and making your voice heard at this moment? What is stopping you from speaking out against a government that you may not agree with. What is holding you back? The story of Mumbet is in the 1619 newspaper. Folks, we've been giving out the 1619 books. We're now giving out the 1619 newspaper, which are entitled We've Got to Tell the Unvarnished Truth. We'll be giving these out when people call in for Kayopley. You read the story of Mumbet and see the daguerreotype, which is a photograph of Mumbet. 410-319-8888. As we get serious about our political candidates, who are you supporting that is still in the race? According to the Black Power rankings from Jason Johnson, the number one person who's running, the one who has the interests of Black folks in mind, the one that could potentially lead us to the promised land, the one who's going to have us singing free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last, is Elizabeth Warren. According to Jason Johnson, Elizabeth Warren has stated that with her finances, her legislation, her external polling, and her X factor, her rhetoric, she seems to be the most aligned with Black voters who are trying to plot out a new direction. She has a 58% approval rating among Black voters, and 41% of Black voters think that she can beat Donald Trump. So where do you stand? Who are you supporting as we move into this new year? We got to get serious about where we're going. We have Lucille on the phone from Mount Washington. Lucille, how are you? Hello,
Dr.
Lucille.
K, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Oh, Happy New Year again.
Yes.
I don't know who I'm going to vote for. Elizabeth Warren looked interesting, but she's becoming a little wishy-washy lately, doing the flip-flop, so I'm not really sure. But based on who we have now, Biden probably, not because I like Biden, but because he's in that same good old boy network. So he might have a chance if he keeps his mouth shut. But it's still up in the air now that Donald Trump has did his thing trying to save his impeachment.
Right. But with this latest move of Donald Trump, I'm thinking we need to move and move quickly. If you're saying that you believe Joe Biden is the person that can beat Donald Trump, maybe, Lucille, maybe the fight isn't so much about Black agenda anymore. Maybe the fight is just about getting this man out of office.
Right. Right. You know, sometimes you got to fall on your sword or whatever it is. And for the sake of the United States, I'm not even just thinking of my brothers and sisters who look like me.
Right.
But I'm thinking of my brothers and sisters all around this United States, whether they look like me or not.
There may be the goals to get them out.
Being sent to the slaughter because of what he's done. And that's what's going to happen, unfortunately.
All right. Thank you so much, Lucille. Folks, we're going to leave it here for just a moment. When we come back, we've got a lot of callers on hold. We are talking about who is going to be the person that we should throw our support behind to, one, beat Donald Trump, but two, have our interests at heart. Folks, we need a Black agenda. We've been talking about calling for a march to put together a Black agenda. It is time. It is past time. 410-319-8888. Stay with us.
Thank you so much, first of all, to my Fosse Verdon family and to the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. When you put this in someone's hands, you're acknowledging the choices that they make as an actor, moment by moment, scene by scene, day by day, but you're also acknowledging the choices they make as a person, the education they pursued, the training they sought, the hours they put in. I'm grateful for the acknowledgement of the choices I've made, and I'm also grateful to have lived at a moment in our society where choice exists, because as women and as girls, things can happen to our bodies that are not our choice. I've tried my very best to live a life of my own making, not just a series of events that happened to me, but one that I could stand back and look at and recognize my handwriting all over, sometimes messy and scrawling, sometimes careful and precise, but one that I had carved with my own hand. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose. to choose when to have my children and with whom. When I felt supported and able to balance our lives, knowing, as all mothers know, that the scales must and will tip towards our children. Now, I know my choices might look different than yours, but thank God, or whomever you pray to, that we live in a country founded on...
That was Michelle Williams on the Golden Globes. Welcome back to The Day with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. That was last night. Even though I am not someone who is supporting the Golden Globes, because Golden Globes, hashtag so white, you had an actual event where no black people took home an award at all. But I was appreciative of Michelle Williams' statement when she won her Golden Globe, talking about that we live in a world of choice. She goes on in this speech to say that people should exercise this freedom around choice, around decisions, around their rights when they go in and vote. She said women should vote and put the fact of their women first. She said, because men have always voted their best self-interest. It is time for women to vote their best self-interest. Folks, that ties directly in to this conversation. I am making the decision that I need to vote and take into account that I'm a black woman. I need to stop voting for who I think is the shiniest candidate or the candidate that's just going to beat the person who's running. Why can't we have a black agenda and force the next president of the United States to look at, to recognize, to adhere to our agenda? We are full and legitimate members of this society, and yet we tend to allow this country to treat us like we're stepchildren, and we are not. And at this moment, I'm not just talking to black and brown folks. People who are economically challenged, you're treated as stepchildren as well. So who is a candidate right now on the Democratic side who should get our support? Well, according to Jason Johnson, number one on the Black Power rankings is Elizabeth Warren. He is saying Elizabeth Warren right now is the person who probably has our best interests at heart. She has a lot of black folks on her committee. She is able to speak to, and in some cases for, black folks. She is looking to find a way to bring more black folks to the table. She's at number one. They have Cory Booker coming in at number two. Now, Cory Booker just raised about $4 to $6 million, so $4 to $6 million, the most he's raised, because there are no other black folks running. There are no brown folks running at all. So Cory Booker is saying, what does it look like to have a field and there are no black or brown people up on the stage at all? Castro pulled out. You know that. He gave up his whole campaign. He's thrown his support behind Elizabeth Warren. Kamala Harris gave up a little while ago. I mean, she said she just didn't have the millions of dollars needed to continue with her campaign. There are no black and brown folks on the stage except Cory Booker. And folks are rallying to support Cory Booker, even though, folks, Cory Booker is only polling at about 1%. There's a chance that he may not even make the January debates. I mean, we're putting Cory Booker in there because there's a sense that we want to have somebody up on that stage who is a person of color. Number three is Vice President Joe Biden. Joe Biden is hanging in there. He reaffirmed his stance as a 2020 Democratic frontrunner. He's increased his lead with black voters by millions, folks. Everybody and everybody's mama is flocking to Joe Biden because black people really believe that Joe Biden is going to be our way into Barack Obama. I want to tell you, folks, just, you know, and I hate to be the voice of reason. Barack Obama is not running for president again. Barack Obama's not setting up a puppet government with Joe Biden as his front man and he's pulling the strings behind. If you're voting for Joe Biden, you're voting for all of that. He is clearly a strong part of the old boy network. Joe Biden said, I need to take this country back to where it used to be. Folks, where it used to be wasn't a good place for black people. Let's think about it. Joe Biden's been around long enough that he remembers a time of segregation. He's part of that last Jim Crow generation. In fact, he was elected and he was running during a time of the last Jim Crow generation's reign. So do we want to take this country back to where it used to be? I'm not sure about that. Number four is Bernie Sanders. People love Bernie Sanders, and they are throwing money at him. A recent poll of black folks has Bernie Sanders right now among young black people. Bernie Sanders is the candidate to beat. Number five is businessman Andrew Yang. The Yang Gang is hard at it, and he has raised $16 million in the last quarter. Quite an impressive haul. 43% of black voters nationally still have no idea who he is. So let's be clear. When they talk about the Yang Gang, you're talking primarily about whites and Asian Americans who have flocked to the Yang Gang. Number six, I'm going to just put it out here. Mayor Pete Buttigieg is still holding on. Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who said that he didn't think that people understood during that time that slavery was a bad thing, and I'm not sure where he got that from, since as far back as 1776, there were some of the founding fathers and mothers, both black and white, who were saying slavery is a bad thing. It needs to get out of here. But Pete Buttigieg is hanging on. And right now he's seen a surge among young whites. That is where his biggest surge is. He does not have black folks on his agenda. He talks a good game, but we can just look to South Bend, Indiana, and take a look at what's happening there in terms of race relations. I mean, you're talking, it was on Twitter that Senator Ted Cruz looks to give a history lesson on slavery to Pete Buttigieg. Not a good look. And it's interesting that as you get down to 7, 8, 9, 10 of this list, you have Amy Klobuchar is down there, Tom Steyer is down there, businessman Michael Bloomberg is down there, and then former Governor Deval Patrick is there. Deval Patrick, which some of you may not know, is a former Massachusetts governor, African-American. And he is running because a number of his friends, black and clearly power players, reached out and asked him to run. He has hired a slew of black folks to run his campaign. DeShondra Jefferson is a former Democratic National Committee member, a political consultant. She's his traveling press secretary. They are pulling people left and right. Patrick was the only presidential candidate invited to speak at Mother Emanuel's AME Emancipation Day festivities. So he is truly a real player, though if you poll and ask people, they haven't heard from him. He is an African-American man, but he's not raised the kind of profile needed to even be on that stage in January. If Cory Booker's not going to make it, clearly Patrick's not going to make it either. Who do you think has our best interests at heart? Is it time for black folks to start voting with the black agenda, or should we be primarily concerned with getting the current president out of office with no thought of who's going to come in after? As long as it's not Donald Trump, that's good enough for us. 410-319-8888. I have Nathaniel from Pikesville on the phone. Nathaniel, how are you?
I am pretty good, Dr. K. And I think you already know I'm
here. You are a Trump supporter, I know.
So, look, I think it's odd and a little hypocritical for most blacks. If you ask some blacks in the 90s, and I remember, you know, how they felt about President Clinton at the time receiving oral sex in the White House.
Yes.
You know, they didn't seem to see it as a big deal. And they weren't up in arms about it. But I imagine, you know, you ask those same blacks, if something that Trump had done something similar to that, they would be screaming the horns to get him out of office. You know, it seems like it's all about the person. They only really care about the individual rather than the policies. And truth be told, Dr. K, Trump isn't so different from every individual out here. You know, unpacking the three points you made earlier, you know, you have individuals out here raising our children, and individuals, I mean rappers, who talk about the things that they're going to do to women and other people out here.
Are you going there, Nathaniel? You're going there.
We're talking about influential people.
Come on.
Influential people.
Yes.
You know, you have individuals out here who will not rent certain properties to certain minorities or individuals who are receiving assistance. You have Timonium, White Marsh, and Towson who are saying, look, we don't want to accept Section 8. We don't want to accept this influx of minorities. Send them all to Randallstown. Send them all to Southwest Baltimore County. You know, but we don't want to take them up here because they have an impression. It could be a prejudice or it could be based off some research or some data. They have an impression that the neighborhood is going to be flipped upside down. You have individuals who go on the record. They go on the record, Dr. K, of saying, look, I want people punished before I gather all the facts. Now, Trump has done that. People who have persecuted Justice Kavanaugh and Bill Cosby and anybody you can think of, they before having all the facts, they've already said, off with his head.
Okay, now hold on. Now, I was, let me tell you, Nathaniel, because I'm going to let you continue. I was with you until the pulling in of Kavanaugh and Cosby. Mm-hmm. Cosby has been found guilty, and he is serving time. Kavanaugh, like the other Supreme Court justice who was on trial in terms of their past behaviors, was able to go on to be a Supreme Court justice. That does not mean that the person who accused him was not telling the truth. I think we should remove Kavanaugh, and we definitely should remove Cosby in terms of talking about perhaps men who have been accused, who have not stood any type of trial. Because Donald Trump has not gone on trial against the accusers against him, unlike Kavanaugh, where he did have to answer to Dr. Christine Blasey Ford.
I understand. I appreciate that. The point I was trying to make, though, with that was that you have individuals calling for extreme punishment before having all the facts.
Okay.
And you have people on the record saying, look, I know Cosby did it. I know Kavanaugh did it. I know this individual did it. Off with their heads. You know, like Trump said in his case, you know, we need to bring back the death penalty. We need to do certain things before I even have all the facts. I'm just telling you, you know, that there's a relationship there, and he's not doing anything different than any other person out here in our community in that regard.
Now, it's interesting, Nathaniel, because I know you are a big Trump supporter, and there's a good article that talks about Trump supporters, particularly African-American and Hispanic Trump supporters, by it was published in Religion and Politics, and it talks about the cult of Trump, what cult rhetoric actually reveals, that there are Trump supporters, perhaps like yourself, it doesn't matter what he does, that you stand steadfast and support him. Donald Trump himself said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and still not lose support. There's a fear that that's actually becoming increasingly clear. It doesn't matter what he does, the people who support him are standing steadfast. So nothing he has done during his entire time he's been in office, we won't even go back to the things he did before he got in office, just since he's been in office, his rhetoric, his actions, none of that has given you any pause for concern at all, Nathaniel?
Glad you brought that up, because I was having this conversation with another individual.
Okay.
It'll be hard to find something that he does that'll just like have me scratching my head. But okay, the same applies to the opposition. Donald Trump can't do anything or say anything that's going to make a person who hates him love him. You understand what I'm saying? The people who hate him will always hate him. And, you know, if he was going to prevent the next 9/11, you know, individuals who get on TV, well, couldn't you find another way other than killing this guy, Soleimani? Or, you know, if Trump, you know, you heard the joke about Trump walking on water to get the Pope's hat, and then the news articles the next day read Trump can't swim. So it's not just me, you know, him doing something that, you know, won't change my impression. He can't do anything that'll change the opposition's impression of him.
Right, but
no
at the same time,
I get that,
Nathaniel, and I do appreciate you calling, Nathaniel from Pikesville. It is interesting, folks, because right now I opened up the show saying, you can't serve two. You cannot serve two masters or mistresses, whatever you want to call them. You are either steadfastly in Trump's camp or you are not. Because the people that are supporting him, the 15% of African-American men, which Nathaniel is one of them, the 3% of black women, the 23% of Hispanic men, the 54% of white women, they are not moving. Donald Trump, in their opinion, not only is he the bastion for what good faith and Christianity looks like, they're willing to go to bat for him. It doesn't matter. Immigration policy aside, babies in cages aside, you know, possibly leading us into another war aside. Aside from all of that, Donald Trump to them is the best thing that could have ever happened to this country. Let's go to Kimberly. Kimberly's a new caller from Baltimore. Kimberly, how are you? And welcome to the family.
Dr. K,
I'm doing well.
I just wanted to chime in and not to be negative. You know, to be honest with you, it's a mess. And I don't think it's anybody you're going to be able to put in there that's really going to achieve anything. You know, and I mean, I like the statistics. I love the numbers. But I mean, just if you just think logically on facts, it's nothing you can do. You wow. know, I mean, you know, optimistically speaking, you know, it's you can put whoever you want to in there. It's a mess, you know, and it really boils down to individuals and, you know, spirituality, things like that.
Right.
I mean, this is a wrap right here. So I'm just saying that, not trying to be doom and gloom, but,
yeah.
I mean, we talk about this every 4 years. We talk about the same exact things over and over.
Yes, we
and
do.
Over.
Yes, we
if
do.
If we do this, then maybe we'll get this. We do this and we still get that. So, I mean, at some point, you really got to start looking at yourself and the things that you can do, you know, to educate yourself more so on your spirituality. And,
right. This
and
is a good time for prayer.
And really yeah. make a move. Here,
this is a good time for prayer, Kimberly. I mean, seriously.
It's a little bit more than
I'm
that.
I'm telling you, we need prayer. We need to vote with our feet. I mean, you got to do whatever you need to do because
you
got, it is a dangerous time.
Let me tell you, you better get your book out and
come
take
on.
Some notes.
I'm telling you.
Serious studying, sis, because this is it.
This is it. Thank you so
it
much, Kimberly.
No. Better.
No. It may not get any better. Folks, I'm looking at an article now from Indivisible, and it says Donald Trump is a national security risk, period. We're clear on that. But here's the current Trump threat level. Number one, April 2019. This is last year, folks. He escalated tensions with Iran for no good reason. He did that last year. And what did he do on Friday? Come on now, folks. A whistleblower told the House Oversight Committee that 25 individuals who were denied clearance for a variety of reasons, including foreign influence and conflicts of interest, were granted clearances anyway after intervention from Trump's senior staff. One, last year, he escalated tensions with Iran for no good reasons. Two, he started allowing security clearances to people who actually might be national security threats. It was March of last year in his policymaking via tweet that he urged recognition of Israeli sovereignty of the Golan Heights. Remember that big thing? And what could possibly happen with that? And people were concerned about the long-term implications of that. Trump's budget is a concern. The administration, his diplomats from Venezuela is a concern. His decision to repeal Obama-era rules requiring disclosure of civilians killed by U.S. strikes overseas, mainly through drone strikes, is a problem. Folks, if you take a look, and I'm saying go back and connect the dots. Don't just start with Iran on Friday. Go back and connect the dots. Where we are today is a result of this country's desire, their response, their issue with having a black man in the White House. I've said it. I'll say it again and again. This decision for Donald Trump was made as soon as Barack Obama was elected. There was a push for white lash, folks. And here we are. We have Ray on the phone. Ray's a new call from Harford County. Hey, Ray, how are you? Welcome to the family.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
When I don't know the subject beyond Trump and whether he's appropriate or not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is that I am what I consider a thinking voter. I have voted Republican. I have voted Democrat. I have voted independent. So my feeling about this man is has zero to do with his party, has zero to do with his policies, and has everything to do with him as a person. This man is not a man to be president, period. Not his party, him. Period. He is an adolescent child in an old man's body, and every one of his behaviors is indicative of this. I spoke with a coworker prior to him being elected, and they actually said, "I prefer him over an emotional woman."
Ooh!
I could
wow.
not believe
wow.
that he said that, but he said that. Now, what we have in the Oval Office is an emotional child
yeah.
as opposed to a quote-unquote emotional woman.
Wow.
This man has no place governing our country. And to your Trump-supporting caller, to compare a man lying about his genitals to a man lying about compromising national security is absolutely unconscionable. And I just don't know how people who choose to excuse that behavior live with themselves. If you parallel the circumstances and look at the accusations against Mr. Trump, this young man said that if Trump had done what Obama had done, people would be in an uproar. Obama would not have been elected if he was accused by one single woman.
Not one.
He would have not have been elected. And this man has all these accusations. I'm done. I thank you for your time.
All right, thank you so much. Folks, I just want to point out to you as we're kind of going through this, Donald Trump, when he warned Iran, if they hit any Americans or American assets, that they've targeted 52 Iranian sites, you know how he told the world? He told it through a three-part tweet. This is a man that does policy through tweeting. So the question is, when we go into that booth, we've got to choose a candidate quickly, folks. Who can we put up that can remove Donald Trump from office? Or if you are a Trump supporter, I want to hear from you, because I actually, at this point, it does not make any sense to me. It does not. But we can talk about it. We have Wesley on the phone from Reisterstown, Maryland. Wesley, how are you?
Oh, fair for a 76-year-old man. here's the thing. And you got to take my word for something here. Mm-hmm. Well, I was glad to see Obama get in there, and I certainly have some, disappointments in him. But I was glad to see him get in. I never thought I would see it, a black president. Okay.
Right.
Let's get rid of all the emotion, okay?
Right.
I said this before Chuck D said it on national TV. When he was elected, I said, let me say this. I saw Jesse Jackson and Oprah crying. Now, people have the right to feel the way they want to feel.
Right.
But I felt that, hey, this ain't about crying now. His situation is this. We are going to have to put on our hard helmets because our hard hats, because times is going to get rough after all this.
Yep.
Now,
right.
Chuck D said it 2 weeks after I did, but you have to take my word that I said it before I heard it.
I'll give you that credit.
There's going to be a white lash.
Yes.
And here it is.
Here it is.
The least qualified individual that you could possibly find anywhere. You can walk out on the street of homeless people and pick a better president than we got now.
No, I'm not going to argue with that. Believe me, as I'm reading through the stories and looking at all of the backlash against Trump that started on January 21st, 2017, and has continued. It has not stopped.
Right. Hey, can I say one thing else to you?
Yes, sir.
I love you to death.
Thank you so much.
Between you and, I forget the other lady.
Justina.
That's on earlier. No, she has a show on early. I listen to both you guys, and I love you to death. If you're planning on running for office, you're going to have to understand one thing. First, they're going to try to buy you off. And the second thing they're going to do is they're going to try to smear you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Be ready.
Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you. We have Cheryl on the phone from Randallstown. Cheryl, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Hi, Dr. K. And Justina, I just wanted to say, because I'm driving again, I just got back on the traffic.
Okay.
But I know you're very good with the tweets that Donald Trump has done. On The View this morning, they said Donald Trump had tweeted in November of 2011 or 14 when Obama was trying to run again, and he tweeted in November that I guarantee you that he's going to try to start a war just so he can get reelected.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
You can check that out.
Yes, and you know, we actually shared it on our show on Friday. We actually have the tweets of Donald Trump.
Great.
We actually have the audio where he said, hey, you know what? Barack Obama's going to try to start a war with Iran so he can get reelected. So, thank you.
That's what they said.
Yep.
I could not believe that.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, because I'm driving.
Thank you so much. We have Stephen on the phone from Severn, Maryland. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My first thought regarding all of this is disappointing how decimated the peace movement has become, decapitated, since at least 2001. And I just, you know, it's just so disappointing to see that there hasn't been any marches, hasn't been any backlash from people who are peace-loving and supporters of a peaceful world, anti-war. Not, like, either the people who led the movement have been locked up, killed, or co-opted, or and the people who could be running it have been disappointed and become cynics. And it's just so disappointing to how far we've gone since September 11th, down this drain of just militarism and war and whatnot. And now we got this as my friend Cornel West likes to call him, this fascist, neo-fascist, just running things down the drain even further. So I just hope that, you know, we can continue to move forward and try to build, organize together and build organizations that can confront all this craziness that we're about to deal with.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much, folks. We're going to leave it here. When we come back, we have Ankh Leo, we have Muhammad Ali on the line, and I'm going to break down Donald Trump's presidency through David Leonard's column, 40 Characters at a Time. You got to stay here for that. And then we're going to talk about vision planning for 2020. So today with Dr. K, I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Stay with us.
And a good afternoon. Looking just fine on the Penn line of the MARC system. No delays from Washington through Baltimore to the Northeast. Indeed, no delays anywhere on the MARC system. Earlier delays on the light rail link are all gone. Now that is on schedule, and no delays on the Metro subway link. Local link bus diversions include the 52, 53, the Green Line diverting southbound at Kirk and Curtin, 52, 53, and the Green Line northbound diverting at Kirk and 22nd. For the MTA Transit Team, I'm Ken Berger on 88.9 FM WEAA, the voice of the community.